This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum for several more segments of the Paracast with Gene and Chris. We're not just giving you our own questions, but asking the ones that you posed in the question bank at forum.theparacast.com. So when we broke for our last commercial break, Dr. Meldrum was going to start with a new answer to a question.
Let me just first add something. There was grass slowly rising out of the print below the swooped print on the side of the cut. So there was still grass coming up out of the print. That's how in terms of time proximity.
Right. So very fresh. So
within less than 2 minutes.
Yeah, because in some instances, I find that, you know, the conditions where the footprints had been laid down might have been different at the time of the passing of the track maker. And those can vary. Those can vary oftentimes in a very short period of time. But the fact that there was grass, you know, and not knowing the condition of the forest floor on either side of the road and the road cut.
Yeah, it'd be hard to answer that. Yeah,
it's hard to know. This was one of the criticisms that a famous tracker, Joel Hardin, a Border Patrol tracker who investigated some of the reports in the Blue Mountains outside of Walla Walla in southeastern Washington. One of his criticisms was that the tracks appeared to start and stop. And this struck me as odd, and in fact, in my opinion, just spoke to the credibility of the tracks, because here's a person who is a professional tracker, not like me. I don't consider myself a professional tracker. I'm certainly not professional, but I'm not qualified to follow and cut sign which consists of broken blades of grass and overturned pebbles and indentations in the pine duff or what. I mean, but if there's a clear footprint, I can interpret it, infer the anatomy, infer the function, and so forth. But this individual claimed that these tracks stopped and started. Well, if it was, as he alleged, a hoaxer who was donning and doffing fake feet, he should have been able to pick up sign of that person.
The hoaxer.
Barefooted or with, the hoaxer's sign. Now, I'm really hesitant and want to appeal, like I said before, to a paranormal explanation. I have a hard time envisioning or wrapping my head around the notion of what seems to otherwise to be a physical creature who would be capable of doing such things, and yet only appears where there's 16 to 18 inches of rainfall, and doesn't bother to clean up the scat that they leave behind, or that kind of. Everything that I'm familiar with from my own personal experience suggests and indicates a biological species, an organism that exists biologically in our plane of existence, in our following our rules of physics and so forth. I just don't see this as a singular entity or phenomenon that one has to, just simply because we haven't yet found the definitive type specimen, that we would be justified in resorting to a paranormal explanation.
Kind of an Occam's razor scenario.
Well, yeah. An Occam's razor that's one of my pet peeves. Occam's razor is often misused. His edict was essentially that we shouldn't add variables. We shouldn't add entities unnecessarily in an attempt to explain something. He never said that the simplest explanation is more likely to be true. And history should have taught us in evolution, for example, and in other areas of science, that rarely does science follow the shortest course from point A to point B. When you're dealing with historical science, like evolution, for example, there's no way to justify that, because natural selection has no knowledge of what B is. It's not prescient. It can't predict the future. And so it would have no way of knowing what the shortest distance would be to the condition that we might be experiencing in the future or right now in the present. Nature solves its problems by whatever means, and often they're very convoluted, very complicated means.
Like, how do evolutionary biologists explain the evolution of caterpillars being able to go into chrysalis and morph into a butterfly? They still haven't figured that one out. That's pretty complicated.
It definitely is. I wouldn't resort to paranormal until I had ruled out the simpler explanations.
Right.
And one of those might be that it's just darn hard to pick up the track in the forest floor.
Yeah, in certain terrain.
That's one thing that impressed me in my first real concerted field experience, expedition, setting, was how little of the ground actually took a track very well, at least a visible, discernible footprint that I could study and pour a cast of and so forth.
Yeah.
There's very, very little surface area out there.
Yeah, that's true, and you really have to be good. I'm always reminded of that scene in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid when the tracker's tracking them over just bare rock.
Yeah.
And they keep asking himself, who are those guys? How can they do that?
Right, exactly.
Lord Baltimore, I think his name was.
Yeah.
Okay, some more questions from our listeners. Vespi High Folk, who's one of our top posters at the Paracast, where you can ask your questions of our guests at forum.theparacast.com, the question bank. He's wondering again about hard evidence. Now, you've mentioned scat. Do we have some stool samples from these creatures? I wasn't aware of that.
Well, yes, there have been reports from way back, the early sightings and first documentation in California back in the 50s, late 50s, of extraordinarily large but rather human-looking scat piles. There have been some hit-and-miss kind of analyses. There was one that Ivan Sanderson reported in his book where a parasitologist took a look and found the egg husks, a form of parasitic worm that was very unusual for something in North America. He was familiar with them from swine in Asia. So that was kind of interesting. I mean, what that means, I'm not quite sure, just that it wasn't a common combination of characteristics, both.
And that was a North American sample.
That was a North American sample, yeah.
Wow, that is interesting.
We've dealt with a lot of different samples, and, the problem is that we're dealing with a large omnivore. And if you're at all familiar with bear scat, for example, another omnivore, as we pointed out earlier, the scat, the appearance and consistency of the scat will differ remarkably depending on what this omnivore is eating.
Right.
It's not like, cow pies where they eat nothing but grass and straw and so forth. And so if they're eating berries, they're going to be runny and blue and have bits of berries in it. If they're in the early spring and they're eating lots of grass, then it looks more like horse manure. If they get into a carcass and they're eating a lot of putrefying meat, a lot of protein, then it's dark black and tarry, It's going to change. So I'm sure that the Sasquatch scat is going to vary similarly to that. So the only way really to distinguish it would be, an excessive diameter of that log, if you will, or with DNA analysis. And unfortunately, you have a very narrow window. You only have about, at tops, 8 hours before bacterial action will destroy any of the DNA that has come off, sloughed off with the mucosal cells on that. And so we had the proverbial perfect scat sample. I mean, I always tell individuals, don't bother me really with these scat samples unless they're very fresh, literally located between two clear footprints. And we had that happen. There was a case in Wyoming where a Sasquatch was visiting some seasonally occupied cabins and was peering into the windows, especially the kitchen windows where dinner was being cooked, and just off removed from the cabins not too far, there were two tracks with a scat pile right in between them.
Let's talk about those tracks. in our next segment with Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
The EPA says the air in our homes is up to 5 times more contaminated than outside air. The solution is not just to filter your air, but detox it. UVforLife.com now offers a doctor-recommended UVforLife.com sterilization unit to kill over 99% of viruses, bacteria, molds, and dangerous chemicals. Go to UVforLife.com. Add promo code GCN at checkout to save $100. That's UV, the number 4, life.com. UVforLife.com. Don't just filter your air, detox it.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, the tracks from The Creature. Tell us more.
Well, the tracks were extremely clear. I mean, they were some of the best 16-inch tracks I've seen. And we showed all of the hallmarks of midfoot flexibility that, are indicative in my mind of legitimate tracks, you know, not likely to have been a hoax.
So they went side by side, but the heels dug in?
Well, where they were side by side, there was actually more weight on the fore part of the foot, as if
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. So that scat sample, I was going to say these tracks were followed for probably a quarter of a mile. And then we had an independent sighting reported from that area at almost the same time, about 3 or 4 miles removed from this site by a hiker. The scat was collected. Unfortunately, you know, the delay in getting the word to us meant that it had been out, exposed the elements for probably, a good 5 or 6 days. But we went ahead and collected it. It was, roughly human in appearance, in shape, that is, a greater volume, but completely full of well-chewed-up sedges. So it wasn't a dog or a carnivore. It could have been a bear. That was the only other possibility. But the tracks it was associated with were so clear. So we went ahead and collected some, and we sent it off to a DNA lab on the off chance that it might have something.
I bet you they just loved opening up that package.
Yeah, well, they were actually quite excited about it, especially given the description of the circumstances. Unfortunately, all they got from it was dog DNA. And what we figure had happened was one of the residents' dog had taken an interest in it and, as you might expect, lifted its leg and marked his territory. You know, this intruder had the audacity to leave a scat pile in his backyard. He was going to mark it. And so it was DNA, you know, proteins from the urine that had...
which is not good for trying to isolate DNA from an unknown primate. Oftentimes when I would go out on cattle mutilation investigations, we would allow the Pyrenees, my brother's Pyrenees, to be the first one to actually go into the site, because he would do exactly that. He would go around to and ID where any sort of coyotes had approached the carcass by peeing on the bushes that they peed on. So he was our junior investigator, the first one on the scene usually.
Right. Yeah, if we only had, well, I don't know if I would want to have their sense of smell.
No.
To be more of a burden than a blood.
Yeah, almost parts per trillion, I think. I think the bloodhounds can smell parts per trillion, and bears can too.
Yeah.
Bears can smell up to 5 miles away, I think.
Right.
Downwind. Here's, you know, we have to get into this question. There's a couple of questions about the problem of hoaxing. And Vesby High Folk wants to know how badly hoaxers like Rick Dyer and others have harmed serious Bigfoot research. Do you think that these guys are just an annoyance, that they're just an irritation, or do you think that they're doing irreparable harm to this subject being taken seriously by academics?
Well, that's a good question, and it's I don't know that I have a clean-cut answer. I don't think it's irreparable harm in the case of something like Rick Dyer. I think that what it does is it gives more grist for the mill being run by the ideological skeptics out there.
Yeah.
They like to then focus everyone's attention on those things. I mean, in the case of Rick Dyer, it's so blatantly, transparently obvious that only the most gullible or the most wishful individuals would even give him the time of day. Well, I could share some fun stories of behind the scenes stories of his wrangling, trying to get me to come and just take a look, just to lend credibility, you know, to his allegations. But it was
the character. He did his roadshow. He wanted to get a place up in Flagstaff and do his dog and pony show up there, and they absolutely refused. I was hoping that they'd allow him to do it, because I wanted to go up there and do a real big expose on him, but they wouldn't even allow him to stop. They said, don't even stop in this town. Just keep going, pal.
Well, that's probably for the best.
How about the Minnesota Iceman? This is something that I have always been absolutely just fascinated by. Of course, Ivan Sanderson got a chance to take a look at this short-lived display of an apparent hominid in a smaller hominid, but all fully hair covered in a block of ice.
Yeah. Well, just recently, the volume that Bernard Hoevelmans had written on that has been translated from French into English and has been published, and it's now out and available. We just did I just wrote a book review on it for the Journal of Scientific Exploration, the JSE. Fascinating. It sort of reopened that case for me as I read this book for the first time and got Bernard's perspective in contrast to Ivan's. Ivan was probably a little more skeptical and thought that Bernard had jumped the gun. But, you know, it really was a shell game. It was from as soon as some serious attention was directed by the FBI and the Smithsonian, then suddenly Hansen claimed that the owner, the anonymous owner, had retracted it and had replaced it with this mannequin. The mannequin, which is now down at the Museum of the Weird, I guess, is it Arizona or Nevada? Yeah. Arizona, mm-hmm. Yeah. So the question is, was the original that was examined at length by Sanderson and Heuvelmans, was that a real body, a flesh and bones body, or was it the model, which Hansen then thought out, repositioned a little, modified perhaps a bit, and then refroze? Unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever know. And even if we, you know, even if a compelling argument could be made one way or the other, the only physical remains we have is that model that's on display down there. Yeah. And certainly that is it's a mannequin. It's not much different than, well, it's better quality, much better quality than Rick Dyer's travesty. But it's, but we'll never
You're
know.
You're being kind.
Yeah, yeah. We'll just never know.
Yeah, it's always fascinated me, especially the diagram that Sanderson drew up, and very meticulously too, I might add, for someone just looking through glass and being able to determine as much as he did. It was very, very intriguing. You just have to wonder, maybe that thing's sitting on ice somewhere, just waiting for somebody to find it and bring it out.
Hard to imagine, but it's, you know, stranger things have happened. It's fascinating, but it's, you know, there are so many fronts, so many lines of investigation that I'm involved with, and to one degree or another, that it doesn't justify the time to delve into it any further.
Well, maybe one of your little research assistants could put that on somebody's plate for weekend work.
The enthusiasts out there, this is tailor-made for somebody to just take a hold and chase down all those leads and, you know, talk to Terry Cullen. I got a phone call from Terry Cullen many, many years ago when he described his first experience. He was the individual who examined it and then brought it to the attention of Sanderson.
Let's do that further in our next segment. We've got more to come with Dr. Jeffrey Meltram and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair
repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis, 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks on Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Warning! If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah! No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Jeff, you were saying that this was brought to Ivan Sanderson. Now, Ivan Sanderson died, what, in the 70s or 80s? Is that
right? Well, yeah. I can't think of I don't know the exact date.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Sure.
And Hoevelmans more recently. But yeah, Terry Cullen had brought it to their attention. He had been corresponded frequently with Sanderson, and Hoevelmans happened to be there visiting when Ivan got this report. And so they went and investigated it together. But yeah, it's an interesting description and case, but I could see it going either way. Hoevelmans does a really good job, too, of kind of threading his way through the various potential explanations. And he was a strong advocate for this kind of cloak and dagger scenario where the body was collected in Southeast Asia by a Vietnam GI who then secreted it back to the States on a military transport in a coffin or in other baggage or whatever. This was a means by which, you know, drugs were presumably brought back to the States on a regular basis. And so there was a vehicle, a mechanism by which another form of contraband could get past customs and other obstacles. You know, a scenario like that isn't beyond conception, but it always just amazed me why someone would think that the best way to exploit, if they were out to exploit rather than to further the science, that the best way to exploit was to put something like that out for, you know, for a peekaboo for two bits, you know. But I guess that was a fairly lucrative means back in at that day. I guess we lose track of what you can buy with 25 cents. You know, when I tell my kids I used to buy candy bar for a nickel, they can't believe
it. Yeah. You can't even buy the wrapper for that now.
Right.
I was hot on the heels of America's first serial killers in the 1860s, the Espinoza brothers, him and his uncle and a cousin, bushwhacked at least 40 cowboys in Colorado, someone that's not very well known to most people. And this was over a six-month period. The famous mountain man, Tom Tobin, was sent to collect the heads, to take them out and collect the heads so he could get a $500 reward from Gilpin, William Gilpin, who was the territorial governor. And so he got them, he found them, he cut their heads off, but he got caught in a flash flood in the Huerfano River and lost two of the heads.
Oh.
But he was able to make it back to Denver from southern Colorado with one head. Uh-huh. He plunked it down on the desk and was told that there wasn't $500 in the treasury to give him to get him his reward. But Gilpin bought him a suit and took him out to dinner. And so Tobin evidently sold the head to a sideshow. And for years, many years, it was displayed in a pickle jar. the head of the notorious, I forget his first name, but it was Ernesto Espinoza. And I tried to find out where. I tracked it for a ways, but these things have a way of collecting a lot of quarters and then disappearing into the dustbin of history.
Yeah.
Probably the same thing happened with the Minnesota Iceman. Yeah. Probably ended up, getting tossed into a landfill or something.
Could very well have, yeah, very possibly.
Well, here's another couple of questions. We're kind of running out of time, but there's been a lot made over the years since David Pilates has come out with his Missing 411 books, which detail the many hundreds, even thousands of people that have inexplicably disappeared within national parks. There's always that kind of hint in the narrative,
right,
that these people were taken by something. And, of course, the automatic knee-jerk assumption is that that Bigfoot is abducting people for some reason or another or killing them or whatever. How does that strike you? And what do you make of all these disappearances?
Right.
Some very inexplicable, where the bodies are found, where people have crisscrossed the area many, many times, piles of carefully folded clothing are found, some pretty strange circumstantial evidence around a lot of these cases. Well, do you think there's any connection between Bigfoot and all these many disappearances?
I don't know if they could all be attributed to Bigfoot in a uniform fashion. I think it's very possible that some disappearances could be attributed there. I mean, I've dealt with a couple of instances where there was some good circumstantial evidence and even some eyewitness evidence that pointed to an unsolved disappearance being attributable to Sasquatch activity. When you look at some of the Native American traditions,
the King Kong narrative.
Pardon?
The King Kong narrative in the Northwest.
Yeah.
Three or four years, they give the, they'd actually present the Bigfoot with a fair maiden.
That's right. And there are accounts, a couple of credible accounts. One in particular that I'm familiar with fairly closely, that of a native, a tribal woman being abducted, young woman being abducted and coming back a year later pregnant and giving birth to an infant that was sickly, gangly, much hairier than typical, never able to learn to speak, and died at a young age of its ills.
Wow, I never heard about that one. Whoa.
Yeah, and that one was confirmed independently by another individual that, we had both ends of the story. The woman had gone off into seclusion, was sent to live with relatives out of state. And when we were doing a documentary shoot in that state, this one guy comes up, and as we're talking, he tells a story about this woman who came down from Wyoming and reportedly gave birth to this, mongrel child that was sick and died when it was about 8 years old. And it was buried up there on the hill. And it was uncanny because it was absolutely confirmed that it was the same circumstance, same time frame,
wow,
same individual. He even knew the names of the person involved. And so... It was interesting. So there's that possibility that if true, speaks a lot about, you know, this question we were talking about earlier about the relatedness of Sasquatch to humans.
Right.
The ability to hybridize, even if it doesn't produce a viable offspring that is, you know, healthy and vibrant. But, you know, David is very careful and stresses the point that nowhere in his book does he attribute these occurrences to Bigfoot,
right,
or to any other factor. He simply is the
he's
messenger.
Just stating the facts.
To it.
Yeah, he's stating the facts to the best of his ability.
Right.
There is no evidence to suggest that that is an answer for some or even any of the disappearances.
Right. But you know, the one of the names for the Sasquatch in this region is Soavica, which is the or Soavich, which is the eater of children. And, you know, what seemed to be just so stories about snatching and carrying off infants took on a whole new dimension for me when a colleague who had worked in the Peace Corps in Africa got a job as a ranger in a park and told me that during his stint there, they had an incident that was kind of hushed up in which a field worker's child that was bundled up down under a bush, parked under a bush while she was a few yards away tilling, was snatched by a passing chimpanzee. And before the field workers could chase it down and, you know, and retrieve it, it had been dispatched and partially consumed by this chimp. Well, and then shortly thereafter, in a much more public fashion, word got out that in that area of Uganda, where they were experiencing severe drought conditions, there was a rash of such abductions, and over a seven-month period, 12 individual infants or toddlers were snatched by chimpanzees.
I'll tell you what, I don't want to be in that area. We've got one more segment to spend with Dr. Jeffrey Meltram. I'm Gene, he's Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X-large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
For years, you've looked for safe solutions to protect what you've worked so hard to build. How do you
weather the next market correction with confidence?
Now there's a way to conquer the technology hurdle and help protect your profits without buying an annuity in any market condition. Introducing WealthGuard from OnTheMarkMoney.com. WealthGuard lets you know in advance if your accounts are dropping, an early warning system that tracks all your accounts. Get WealthGuard today, 100% free. Go to OnTheMarkMoney.com. That's OnTheMarkMoney.com.
Attention citizens, this man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent, and in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Sale of a Lifetime, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.saleofalifetime.com/free book. Again, that's saleofalifetime.com/free book.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
My name is Robin. I'm 47 years of age. I absolutely love One World Whey. It was about 5 years ago when a trainer told me it was the end-all of protein powders. One day when I ran out, I decided to try other brands. I spent 8 months and could not find a replacement. I went through tons of brands, types, and flavors, and almost all of them tasted unnatural and not pleasant. When it all boiled down, I came right back to One World Whey. I buy the cost-effective 5-pound container and my family craves their One World Whey too. I look forward to and enjoy having my One World Whey and feel great after I drink it. Thank you, Synergistic Nutrition, for perfecting a protein powder in the product One World Whey. From taste to how it makes me and my family feel, you get an A++.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Dare I say it, it's been just touched at the periphery. Some people want to attribute a paranormal explanation to Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever, that they appear in window areas that tend to attract paranormal activity. But everything you're talking about is just a physical presence.
Everything, you know, the behaviors, even this issue now I see of child snatching, can be accommodated within the natural behavior of great apes. There was an instance, one of my contacts on the reservation told the story that he was familiar with from his grandparents growing up in northern Nevada, where during a very harsh winter, a child was snatched by a Sasquatch, and that was probably the seed that planted this notion and gave rise to this name of snatching children. But the Tsonaqua, the cannibal giantess of British Columbia, the Pacific Northwest, that's what she's known for.
Right, and the Wendigo, too.
Well, yeah. The Tsonaqua has these big, oversized hands depicted with big, oversized human-like hands, which she reportedly covers with pine pitch, you know, like an NFL receiver, so she can catch the children and they won't slip out of her hands, pitches them into a basket on her back and takes them home to eat for dinner. But they usually escape because she's rather dim-witted and she often falls asleep and the kids can climb out or pick their way out through the crude basket. But there are numerous things like that where descriptions or behaviors attributed to Sasquatch have actually anticipated what we learn eventually about the natural behaviors of great apes or the fossil record of hominid evolution.
Yeah.
And those examples are fascinating. How would hoaxers come up with those things and be so accurate in their depictions?
Right. And why would we have these stories that go all the way back into prehistory that filter down through the generations of these wild men or in some instances, a race of shamans that decided to go back to the wild? Many descriptions, legendary descriptions in the Native American lore talk about humans that went back into a feral state and occasionally hold the tribe hostage and they have to relinquish a maiden or for whatever reason, probably to help with the gene pool or something. But, you know, of course, as I mentioned, the Wendigo in the Ojibwe and Anishinaabe cultures just above the border there in Canada around the Great Lakes area, the Wendigo is the big hairy cannibal that comes through and snatches a child and races off. It would be quite unfortunate if I was hiking along in Yosemite or Rainier National Park or something and have one of my party snatched by a Bigfoot for reasons unknown. That would be a little disconcerting. Well, let's kind of look forward now, since we're running out of time here. Where do you see this type of research progressing? What do we need to think about to further this research, and how can we convince more scientists that this is a very fruitful avenue of investigation and research and to lose the stigma. What can we do?
Well, I think one is the recognition of this shifting paradigm in anthropology, for example, away from the single species hypothesis to what we might call a persistent multi-species hypothesis, that we have contemporaneity of species throughout history, even into the present. And once a context, once a construct within the framework, within this new paradigm is takes root, then, you know, my colleagues, especially the upcoming generation, will be justified in writing a paper or doing an analysis of some of this evidence. And I see that coming. You know, are still very important, obviously, is the ultimate collection of either a type specimen or, short of that, a definitive DNA analysis. That's going to be challenging, I really think. You know, if this creature is somewhere in that gap between us and chimpanzees, you know, our closest living relative, acknowledged living relative, you know, the gap between them and us is very narrow, just a few percentage points difference in DNA. Sometimes you have to look hard to find those distinctions between us and them. And if you're just doing, you know, a cursory spot check of one particular locus on a limited basis, then what are the chances that you might miss that distinguishing trait that sets a Sasquatch apart from us?
Yeah.
So I think it's going to require a dedicated researcher who's willing to invest the time with the proper funding, but to dedicate his or her time to do this completely and thoroughly in order to come to that conclusion. You know, there is no precedent for acknowledging a new species on the basis of DNA alone. We've traditionally always required a physical specimen. But there is a growing literature now in which we find discussions of the propriety of that requirement in cases of endangered or rare species. Can we, in this day and age, now rely upon a voucher specimen of DNA or tissue or, you know, hair sample to establish and recognize a new species? And perhaps Sasquatch will be the best test case of that, you know, to come along. If we get to that point, as far as studying them, you know, even if someone walked in with a hair strand or a chunk of skin and blood that produced definitive DNA, that would just be the beginning of the work we're going to need to do to come to an understanding of just what these things are, what these beings are. And it won't become any easier to collect that kind of data in the field. And so we're going to have to use techniques like, I'm working with a gentleman. We've acquired a 20-foot helium blimp.
Right.
That is motor-driven rather than being a stationary, you know, type of a surveillance device. It's equipped with the best of the best thermal imaging cameras that our payload capacity will permit. And we're chopping at the bit to get out there this next year, next spring.
Nice.
And start using this to do aerial surveys at night, looking for warm bodies. But then, of course, you're going to have to get in there on your feet, boots on the ground, to site verify.
And then you're in the haystack, but boy, it's a real leap forward.
Well, yeah, compared to just tromping around on foot or putting game cameras out, I think it's a huge step forward. It's a necessary step forward in order to take this search to the next level.
Yeah, it's very proactive. I like it. I love the design of the blimp, too. It's real sexy looking.
Well, now, this is a different one.
Okay.
You're thinking of the Falcon Project with that catamaran.
Right, Falcon Project, right.
That catamaran style. Unfortunately, the funding never came through for that. And so in working with another sponsor, another investigator with funding directed towards this, you know, instead of a $260,000 airship that Mr. Barnes had envisioned and his, you know, engineers had designed, ours cost probably about $20,000, another $10,000 for the camera system itself.
Well, that's a tenth the price.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I can see a time, too, where we double up. You know, this has an airtime of about a duration of about 2.5 to 3.5 hours. And so, you know, if you have a contact, I envision us eventually having a sort of a tag team strategy where the second blimp comes up and picks up the tracking while the other one comes back to camp and we swap out the batteries and recharge it and get ready to send it out a couple hours later, and that way maintain surveillance over an area or hopefully over a target throughout the night.
I'll tell you what, please keep us informed, Jeff. It does sound fascinating that you're making some progress here, and we'll get some real answers in the very near future. Jeff Meldrum, please tell our listeners where they can find more information about what you do.
Well, I'd like to encourage the viewers to go to the Relic Hominoid Inquiry for some good scholarly treatment of the subject. That's at isu.edu/RHI. My publications, Sasquatch Legend Meets Science, can be had through Amazon, a great starting point. And I've also written a couple of field guides, the most recent of which is sort of a synopsis of these dual principles we've been discussing about relic hominoids. If you search my name under Amazon and look for Wildman, a field guide for relic hominoids, I think it'll be a good jumping off point.
You can find us on Twitter, the Paracast, on Facebook, and you can also subscribe to the Paracast Plus. The Paracast Plus offers the commercial-free version of this show, the After the Paracast podcast, selections from Paul Kimball's Other Side of Truth, audio and video. A lot more coming for the low price of $4.99 a month. You can also subscribe for a full year, 5 years, or a lifetime. We're offering some samplers over at the Paracast forums, by the way. And we have links if you check plus.theparacast.com. Go to plus.theparacast.com to learn more about the Paracast Plus. A great gift to those of your friends who enjoy real studies of strange and unusual events on the Paracast. Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
My pleasure.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you retired or facing retirement and you're afraid your income is going to be less than you'd like? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business working around your current schedule, creating extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusades, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.